Welcome to the Nutmeg Arena podcast, brought to you by the Nutmeg Assist. Welcome to another episode of the Nutmeg Arena podcast, brought to you by the Nutmeg Assist. So today on this episode, we are going to be previewing one of the hottest games in football history, which is none other than the Northwest Derby, as they call it in England. It's Manchester United versus Liverpool, the Red Devils versus the Reds, the big game that has lots and lots of viewers all around the world. So for this podcast, I have a very special guest joining me. He is a co-founder of the Football Chronicle and is a senior writer for these Footy Times as well. So I welcome Rahul to this podcast. Thanks for coming.
Hi, Ritvik. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you, Rahul, actually. So how are you feeling about this game?
So unlike the build-up to the last United-Liverpool game in December, there's much more positivity going into this game. Obviously, on the back of our league form in the last 9 games, where we have only dropped points in once when we drew to Burnley. With that said, it's a home game as well. So I wouldn't say that we are, we obviously are one of our favourites to win this tie, but at home, especially with the support of our home crowd, I would expect that United will fight hard to get all 3 points.
Yeah, and talking about the last game, I mean, United's visit to Anfield, it wasn't pretty bad for United, to be honest, because you got rid of Mourinho after the game.
Yeah.
So maybe the result got Mourinho sacked and things have changed since then. A lot of things have changed since then. Paul Pogba, who was a shadow of his former self in the first half of the season, is now one of the best midfielders in the league on form. Not just the league, even the world, I guess. Because he's running away with goals and assists. And the whole team is playing so well and the spirits are high at Manchester United, so it's all going pretty good there at Old Trafford. So this will be a very interesting game to watch. And if you look at Liverpool, they've been very excellent this season as well under Jurgen Klopp. So when Klopp joined Liverpool, he said he'd win the league in his fourth season, or he'd win the league in 4 years. That's what he quoted, I guess. So this is kind of his fourth season, to be honest. And yes, will he deliver the promise? It's a hard question because City are just behind and they are on trail. And this City side is one of the best Premier League sides ever. And with Pep Guardiola being a crazy, crazy maniac, demanding perfection every week, it's going to be really hard for Klopp as well. All he's got to do is win all his games. I think if you look at the previous month, you could see that Liverpool have dropped a few points. They haven't lost. They've just lost a single game of the whole season in the league, which was against Man City at the Etihad early in January. But other than that, they've not lost a single game and the spirits are high as well there. So, Rahul, what do you think about this obstacle? And I mean, in general, what do you think about this Liverpool team that Jurgen Klopp has assembled in his tenure here?
So, I mean, we see the progression of Liverpool since 2015. They've obviously, they've grown and Klopp has slowly, he has molded them into the 11 that is one of the strongest Liverpool sides in recent years. And if you see in through every transfer window, he has added the right players generally. If you see, and it's also he has added players for some cheap prices. If you see the likes of Andrew Robertson, who's proven to be one of the bargains of the Premier League in recent seasons. And overall, if you compare the squad from 2015, Liverpool have gone from top four contenders to a title challenger this season. And I think even if Liverpool are unable to win the league this season, Klopp is the right person to take them into the future. And if not this season, it feels inevitable that Liverpool will win a Premier League title when, as long as Klopp is at the reins.
Yeah, that's a valid point, actually. Yes, Klopp has transformed this Liverpool side. And the Andy Robertson example is a very good one as well. Another player who's massively improved is Jorginho Wijnaldum. He's become a key figure there at Liverpool as well. But before moving to Liverpool a quick bit, I just had a look at Paul Pogba's Premier League stats this year. So when Mourinho was the manager, he wasn't scoring much and assisting much. He was having a bad run of form. But since then, he's grabbed a lot of goals and assists. He's been playing well. Those wonderful passes to Rashford and some wonderful diagonal balls as well. He's finally finding his feet in a free role, which in the system that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has set up at Manchester United. So I just looked at his stat at understat.com, and Pogba has played 1,933 minutes of Premier League football, and he averages 0.51 goals per 90.
Yeah. So when you look at it, his in the Premier League this season, can be summed up by the pre Liverpool game and post Liverpool. So obviously, pre-Liverpool was under Mourinho, and he had actually started off the season quite well. The first game of the season, he was captain. He scored a goal in a 2-1 win versus Leicester. Then he got another goal against Brighton, even though we lost 3-2. But as results slowly took a turn it started to decline. And we lost to Spurs 3-0, then we lost to West Ham 3-1, and then eventually, the relationship between Mourinho and Pogba broke down. And when you mentioned earlier that the Liverpool loss has actually proved to be a catalyst for the United season, and that's quite true. Solskjaer has come in, he has liberated Pogba, he's given them attacking freedom in a three-man midfield where he has cover from both Matic and Herrera. So he's free to be the creative force in midfield. He's scoring goals. He's also on penalty duty. So if you see in the last 9 games, he has scored 8 goals, I think, out of which only three are penalties. So it's quite effective of how United's season has improved. Once Pogba's come in, he's just been the difference in his United side. And it goes to show that Mourinho, his decision to ostracize Pogba has actually, it doesn't reflect well on Mourinho, as when you have such world-class talents at your disposal, as a manager, it's your job to ensure that you can get the best out of them. But if you're leaving them on the bench for such a crucial game against Liverpool in the league, then what does it say about where the club's going? So in that respect, it was the 3-1 loss against Liverpool has actually proven to be quite beneficial, and even more so that the scoreline was only 3-1. So the way Liverpool dominated that game, if it was perhaps a 5-1 or 6-1 loss, I think the confidence may have gone even further. But the fact that it was 3-1, it was only 3-1, it shows that the defense was still able to hold fort. And it was just that they needed to It's just that that game, there's a lot that went wrong, and from the team selection onwards. So it's true, Paul Pogba, he has been the driving force in the second half of the season, and if he keeps it going, there's, I think, United are one of the favourites to get the top four spot.
Yeah, and if you actually look at the Premier League table, I mean, just before Solskjaer took the job, and now, when Solskjaer took the job as a caretaker manager for the rest of the season, you guys were far off from that fourth place. Now, suddenly, you find yourself in the Champions League spot. Now, Chelsea, yeah, you could say that Chelsea have dropped points. Chelsea have been so poor in the past month. So, Arsenal are kind of, an up and down team. So, they've also not been getting results consistently. But Solskjaer, if I'm not wrong, he got 7 out of 7 wins, right? In the first 7 games, yeah. And that is the highest ever, best ever start recorded by a Manchester United manager.
Yeah.
So, that says a lot about his style, his philosophy, the impact that he's brought into this club. And I've also heard that he has brought Alex Ferguson, Sir Alex Ferguson, in training sessions. And I mean, he's kept some backroom staff at Manchester United, you know, who actually knows the club. So I've been hearing rumors that he has people who already worked there here at the club as the backbone in his backroom staff. So that's helping him a lot. And also, I heard that it might just be rumors, but I've also heard that Sir Alex has been giving a few tips to Solskjaer. But if you look at his system, even when Romelu Lukaku plays, Lukaku is often deployed as the right winger while Marcus Rashford plays up top. So there's been a change in system as well under Solskjaer. Defensively, yes, Manchester United are still vulnerable, but you have David De Gea, who's the Superman. You know, if you have any trouble, you know that De Gea is going to do anything to stop that. And Victor Lindelof, yes, he's been in form of late. But if you look at the others, they've not been so impressive. Luke Shaw had a good start to the season. Then his form dipped quite a bit. Now he's again kind of finding his feet back again. Midfield, I think there's been a massive improvement. Ander Herrera has been massive for you guys under Solskjaer. Even Nemanja Matic. I see Nemanja Matic work and run a lot more than he used to under Jose Mourinho. So, how do you think the system has helped? And, can you elaborate how Solskjaer likes to set up his team?
Yeah. So firstly, you mentioned the backroom staff. I think that is one of the more important, one of the factors in United's revival, in the fact that it's brought the old United feeling back to the club. So now you have men. And the coaching staff comprises of men who have been here at the club at the peak, who have the winning know-how. Of course, Solskjaer is famous for his Champions League winning goal in 1999. But then you also have Mike Phelan, who was a former United player in the 1990s and was assistant coach and first team coach for Ferguson for almost, I think, 1.5 decades. So, and then on top of that, you also have Michael Carrick, who has been one of the mainstays of the United dressing room for the past decade. And then Kieran McKenna, who provides the link to the modern-day United, as he's been the under-18 coach for... he's under-18 coach for United since 2016. So... I think in that respect, it's brought that winning, it's brought that feeling back. And the younger players like Marcus Rashford and obviously Lingard is not as young, but both players are Manchester United 2 and 2, and they idolize the likes of Solskjaer, and it's clear that they're learning a lot from him. And as you mentioned, Ferguson as well. So Solskjaer's job was really to bring that the confidence back to the club, to remind fans how it was to support United in previous years under Ferguson. And I think he's done that. Obviously there's a lot of rumours over his future, and naturally so, but if it's still a bit early to talk about that, but the more important factor is that even if he doesn't get the job, what he's done is really give the club like some fresh air. He's give Rashford's grown in confidence. He's developing. Martial has gotten plenty of chances, and now he has signed a contract extension. Pogba is definitely not going to be leaving anytime soon. So he's cemented the future of these key assets. And when if it's not him and a new manager comes in, the new manager benefit from whatever Solskjaer has done. So in that respect, I think this appointment couldn't have gone better for both him, the backroom staff, as well as the players.
Yeah, that's a fair shout. So now moving on from United to Liverpool. So unlike United, Liverpool have been up and running in the title race along with Manchester City from the start of the season. Early it was Chelsea, Liverpool and City. Now it's between City, Liverpool and Spurs. So Liverpool has been a mainstay in the title race all season, and they were on top during Christmas as well. And City, at one stage City were 7 points behind Liverpool, if I'm not wrong. And
yeah, correct.
Then Liverpool got those two draws. And that's when City crawled back up into this title race. And talking about Liverpool, you already mentioned how Klopp transformed this Liverpool side from an average team to a title challenging squad. So which let me put it this way, apart from Virgil van Dijk, who, of course, we know has been a massive, massive player for Liverpool. Maybe the signing of the decade for Liverpool. Perhaps, apart from Virgil van Dijk, who do you think is the best player here at Liverpool?
Obviously, Virgil van Dijk's his impact on the team has been massive, and in fact, if they win the title, it can be traced back to his signing back the winter before last. But even looking past him, I think there's a lot of pieces in this team that makes Liverpool that good, and is obviously Salah, Mane, who whenever he shows up, the team shows up. If he has off day, then the team generally is a bit more subdued. But even apart, as you previously mentioned, Wijnaldum has really underrated, and it's a surprise that he's not in the shout for Player of the Year awards. And I think it's just that he's overshadowed by the front three in Liverpool side. But it should not be overlooked his impact at the club. On the team, there's also James Milner, who is one of the leaders, the unspoken, like the how do you put it, the one of the leaders in the club who leads by example. So I think there's plenty of the Liverpool side is, like I mentioned earlier, one of the best Liverpool sides in recent years, and I think even if the squad is still has plenty of
room for development. And I think the way they're going, it seems inevitable that they will win a trophy sooner rather than later.
Okay, so you showed us for Wijnaldum, Salah and the front three mainly. And like you mentioned, yes, Sadio Mane actually, amongst the front three, people rave about Firmino, Salah, but the least attention goes to Sadio Mane, who actually contributes a lot to this team. Yes, he's a bit inconsistent and his finishing is also not quite good. He wastes a lot of chances, but his impact is massive in this Liverpool team. And whenever he's on song, like you said, Liverpool also come into the action as well. So he's a massive player for Liverpool. And if you saw last season's Liverpool, and if you compare last season's Liverpool and this season's Liverpool, last season was all attack, and score goals, backup goals. This season, it's been more mature and a more controlled game. People will say that there's been a massive difference, but to be honest, they scored a lot of goals, Liverpool, but conceded very, very few. So they brought in Alisson, Fabinho, Naby Keita. So these players, apart from Naby Keita, who's just finding his feet now, Fabinho has been a massive factor in Liverpool's good run. Now, when Fabinho plays as that holding midfielder, it's allowed Henderson to move further forward. And Henderson has also upped his game recently. And that's also helped Wijnaldum a lot. So the Liverpool midfield has finally, you know, there were a lot of complaints last season when they lost the Champions League final about the quality, you know, they possessed. I mean, when Salah was taken off, they had to bring on Adam Lallana, who was injured during most parts of the season and was short on pace. So that completely nullified Liverpool attack last season, and even midfield they couldn't dominate. But this season, if you look at it, Wijnaldum has been excellent. Fabinho has also made a huge impact. And even Jordan Henderson, he's having a tremendous season here, Jordan Henderson. No, a lot of Liverpool fans slate him, criticize him. But if you look at Jordan Henderson's impact in this current Liverpool team, it's pretty much underrated what he does for the club. And he's a very, very good leader in the dressing room as well. So it's all good there at Liverpool. But there's also been talk of Liverpool bottling the league. But I think last season's Champions League final, I think they got to learn a lot from that final. Because when they went to last year's final, I mean, it was like a whole new experience for them. Getting into a final, they couldn't handle the pressure. You know, Gareth Bale was saying recently that they were all nervous. They never had a similar situation. But you know, we had a great sleep and we came and we won the game. We won the final. So that's what Gareth Bale was saying a few weeks back. But with this Liverpool side currently, they had that past experience of losing the Champions League final. But apart from that, you have a player like James Milner, who's already won the Premier League and knows what exactly is needed, what mentality you need in the team. And Jorginho Wijnaldum also has won leagues in Dutch football when he was at PSV Eindhoven. And, you know, there are a lot of leaders in this team as well. Andy Robertson is the Scottish captain, Virgil van Dijk, the Netherlands captain. You have Gini Wijnaldum as well, who's kind of a leader figure. Mo Salah, who dictates the play with his performance. Now, there's a lot of leaders in this Liverpool squad as well currently, which is making a massive difference for Jurgen Klopp.
I mean, and
to be honest, when Jurgen Klopp came into the league, people used to call him a one-trick pony. A man without a plan B. But no, this season is proving all the critics wrong. There's been a lot of occasions where he's pulled off some tactical masterclass. Even the City game where Liverpool lost, I mean, they played brilliantly, to be honest. You know, City were too good, and it was a game of fine margins, to be honest. No, City didn't outplay Liverpool. I think it was a fair game as well. So that shows how much Jurgen Klopp has, you know, evolved as a football manager. So my question to you is, Manchester United versus Liverpool on Sunday.
Okay.
How will this game determine both teams' chances of, you know, getting their target for the season? I mean, United's target would have been to fight for the league, but now it would be basically to qualify for next season's Champions League. So if United lose, do you think it's all over, or do you think they still have a chance? And same for Liverpool, because City are on top of the table currently. So if Liverpool lose, they'll still be in second and they'll have to chase City once again. And City, like you know, are way ahead on goal difference. They'll rack up 5-6 goals every game. They're ruthless. So, what do you think about this particular situation?
Yeah. So, if you think about it, United obviously have the top four fight on their hands, but they are yet to play Liverpool and City. And if you look at it, the power is in their hands to massively decide and dictate the title race. They obviously play Liverpool this weekend, and then they play City. But they play City, I think, March 16th.
Which is, yeah.
So,
I don't know.
It's United, obviously, they would want to show up on both games, considering it's their two major rivals. And for Solskjaer, if he's able to get a result in both games, I think that the job is his. I mean, if you look at it from whether he is going to perform in Champions League stage, I think you can't really expect him to deliver immediately in Europe, which is it's a different ball game. And even Ferguson in his initial years has struggled to get results in Europe, and now football has massively evolved. I think to get a result against PSG in the second leg would be it would be a great achievement. But even if we don't go through, I don't think that's the focus. The focus is on the league. And if for Solskjaer, it's simple. He has just to keep the side focused on the top four race, and with that, results will come. There's a lot of confidence. I'm pretty sure, considering Arsenal and Chelsea, the way the season is going up and down, and especially with Chelsea, the top four, the power to get top four is in our hands. And I don't think this game will particularly decide how it goes, but I think considering Chelsea are not playing this weekend, a good result would take us 4 points ahead of them with the game in hand. I think that is, with Chelsea having the game in hand, I think that would be quite significant. And it would also be quite a statement for the title race if United beat Liverpool, considering how much both the players and the fan base would prefer for Liverpool to not win the league. Obviously, they have not won the league in the Premier League era, and it's a stat that United fans would rather not be broken. I think from that point of view, it's going to mean a lot to the players. I'm not really sure if, for Liverpool's point of view, even if they lose the game, whether it's going to massively derail their season. After all, I mean, yes, confidence-wise, they could take a massive beating, and they would lose the game in hand, and then both teams will be tied at 65 points. But if you look at the rest of Liverpool's fixture schedule, the only real difficult games they have left is Tottenham and Chelsea. both they're playing at home, and Chelsea, considering their inconsistency, there's no reason why Liverpool can't do the same to Chelsea as City have done to them. So then, if you look at it, their schedule is quite friendly after tomorrow, after this weekend's game. As long as they are able to keep their head, Liverpool's, there's no reason why they can't take it down to the last, till the last day. With that being said, they have not won the title. This team have not won the Premier League title, and I know you mentioned how the losing the Champions League final last season would benefit them in terms of experience. But while that is true, I don't think we can compare a cup final to 12 remaining league games. I think in the cup final, results can on a different day, in a different day with maybe an Alisson in goal, the game would have been altogether different. But over 12 games, injuries can pile up. Players can start to overthink. The pressure can get to them. And really, who knows? It's all a matter of who keeps their nerve now. City have the experience from winning the title last season, and Guardiola will have it built into them to just keep going for goals, to be ruthless. I think that's what Liverpool are contending against, and it's they also have to fight against the feeling of where the majority of the country would rather their City win the league, or rather I think most rivals would rather City to win the league. So Liverpool are facing a lot of pressure, but that shouldn't really be the case that they are expected to win the league. After all, City are in a altogether different ball game, and given the money they have at their disposal, I think it should not be taken for granted that Liverpool the title should be Liverpool's. The race is tight, and I don't think people should consider Liverpool to be bottling the league if they don't win it at the end of the day. I mean, it depends how results go, but if they are still a couple of draws doesn't mean that they're bottling the league. It's just natural how the league goes. There are going to be ups and downs. At the end of the day, I think expectations just have to be reined in for if a pre-United and post-United as well. Whatever result it is, just have to take it in the stride. Even if Liverpool win and go 3 points ahead, they should just continue to keep their level head, not overthink it, because City will be behind to catch on any weaknesses that they find.
Okay, so that's a fair point. So before we move on to the next topic for this podcast, we're going to take a short break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And yes, we're back from the break. So we are back on this special podcast, previewing one of the biggest games in world football. So we talked about both the teams and the form that they had this season. So now we have plenty of spectacular duels between these two clubs. I mean, in the Premier League era. And I'd like to ask you a few questions, Rahul. So
yeah, sure.
I know who would be your favorite manager, from both the teams in the Premier League era. I know Sir Alex Ferguson would be the obvious answer, but apart from Sir Alex Ferguson, who do you think has been the best manager, considering just Manchester United versus Liverpool games?
If you consider just, when you think about it, I think in recent years, I mean, okay, if you look at it from the point of view, I think at home, United generally have the upper hand. I think, and away, that's how it is in this fixture. In recent years, yes, the tide is turning. Liverpool is slightly turning because Liverpool are on ascendancy and United are still, they're still trying to find their way post Ferguson. But if you look at it, Liverpool in the league over the past few seasons, there have been draws when United play away from home, but at home, I think United are always not really expected, but they will be favored to get a result. And over the past few years, there have been plenty of great memories from this fixture. Juan Mata's bicycle kick, I think, is one of the standout memories for me. And as is Steven Gerrard's red card in less than a minute after coming on. I think, yeah, those are...
That's a game, yeah.
For United fans, especially in a time where the season was fairly inconsistent under Van Gaal, I think those were significant moments for the fan base. I think currently, to be fair, when Jurgen Klopp signed for Liverpool, I felt like he was the sort of manager that United should have gone for. Obviously, circumstances didn't match when he was available. Van Gaal was already in the job, and Van Gaal had taken over in 2014, and so I feel United have missed out on both Guardiola and Klopp. This might be either by the wrong timing, or just that the United job is a bit too daunting for them to take over. But I feel Klopp at United would have been a good fit. He would have brought his philosophy to the club. He encourages attacking. He bloods young players. If you see Alexander Arnold and Alexander Arnold and this season he gave debuts to Rafa Camacho, Curtis Jones, Kiana Hoiver. So if you see what Klopp's his philosophy lies in similarly to what United's philosophy. I mean, if you think about it, United's philosophy is more about the feel-good factor, the attacking tradition, young players getting a chance. And those are values that Klopp brings to the table as well. But if you think about it now, I think Solskjaer, I mean, it's tough to say if Solskjaer is... it's tough to say if Klopp's... what Klopp could have achieved at United, but if he had moved to United, but I think for now, it just remains to be seen how both managers approached this Sunday's game.
Yeah, so I've still not got the answer. Who do you think is the best manager in this tie, in the Premier League era, apart from Sir Alex, of course?
You mean in these fixtures?
Yeah, in this fixture, correct.
Because to be fair, I'm not that old enough to remember most fixtures. And for me, from what I remember from these matches, it's not really about the managers. It's just about there's always a lot of other circumstances going around the club. Like, and if you see, whenever some of the memories from this game, when since I started taking keen interest in football, were delivered by Van Gaal. Those games that I mentioned about earlier. So, I would say in recent years, it's him, the Dutchman, who has had the upper hand. But then again, I don't feel in such a game the managers can, apart from putting out the team, I don't think this, at the end of the day, it's up to the players to what they feel about the fixture, how much passion they feel for the club. So to me, it's not really about the managers. It's a lot more factors involved.
Okay, so that's a fair answer, to be honest. My memory of this fixture would be, like you said, I've also not a old guy, so I started watching football, from 2006, if you ask me, consistently. So my favorite memory of this fixture would be, the 3-0 win at Old Trafford the season where we finished second, the 2013-14 season, under David Moyes, United lost 3-0 at Old Trafford. So yeah, I mean, even better than that, I feel the 4-1 win against United under Rafa Benitez when Sir Alex was still in charge, when Ronaldo scored that early penalty to give United the lead, then we scored back, and Steven Gerrard, Fernando Torres, Nemanja Vidic's red card, then Fabio Aurelio scored a cracking free kick and a wonderful finish from Andre Dossena to round off the 4-1 victory over United. No, I remember coming back early from a marriage, a relative's marriage, to watch the game, and it was such a delight watching Liverpool win 4-1. So that has to be my favorite memory of this fixture. If you ask me about managers, yes, I would definitely love to pick a Liverpool manager. But I know, apart from Rafa Benitez, I don't think there was any guy who gave Sir Alex or Manchester United, even a small bit of headache. Maybe Jurgen Klopp will be a good shout if he wins on Sunday, but he's just won once against United, and that is the season in the league. So it's too early, I guess. So my shout would be for Rafa Benitez currently. So that's with the history games. And before we wrap up this podcast, who do you think will start the game for both sides? What is your predicted 11, starting 11 for both the teams? And finally, your prediction for the game.
Okay, so for Liverpool, I'm not too sure what their injury situation is currently, and who's, considering they also played against Bayern earlier this week. So, but I think for United, one of the major worries after PSG was whether Anthony Martial and Jesse Lingard would be available. I think if you look at it, if without them, Solskjaer has to set up slightly differently. I mean, it'll be the similar formation, but Mata, Lukaku, Sanchez, they don't provide the same attacking verve as Martial and Lingard do. So it's all dependent on whether they are fit. I think if they are fit, then United will continue to field a similar 11. De Gea back in goal, Shaw, Lindelof, Smalling, Young. Then the midfield trio will remain the same. Matic and Herrera marshalling the defence, protecting the defence, allowing Pogba to move further forward. And then the front three would be Martial, Rashford, Lingard. But if either of them are not free, fit enough to play, I guess it'll be probably Lukaku at right wing. I'm a bit unsure whether Juan Mata should start, because of course he has great memories from this fixture, and like I mentioned earlier, those Liverpool goals a couple of seasons ago were our iconic memories in recent years. But whether I don't think he has the same I don't think he has speed to counter-attack the way Solskjaer likes United to. I think he's much better off as a super sub. But coming back to your question, I think the first choice 11 for United generally picks itself. It's just a matter of whether our Martial and Lingard are fit enough Hopefully they are. If they are, then I think this game will be a cracker. For Liverpool, I'm not really sure who's...
I could actually update on that. Joe Gomez is still out, so he's had a surgery on that issue that he had. He picked up at Burnley, so he's out for a long time. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is in training, but Klopp said in his presser that he's still not ready to start. And Dejan Lovren is out. So,
is Van Dijk back?
Van Dijk should be back, considering that he was suspended for the game against Bayern. So he's had a week's rest, and he should be fine to start. So Klopp was also pointing towards his selection, the team selection dilemma, because against Bayern. Yeah, so as I was speaking, so Fabinho and Matip completely managed to nullify Robert Lewandowski, who's one of the best strikers in the world. So, but Klopp has also said that he likes Fabinho in midfield. He'd rather use him in midfield than in defense. So I think Van Dijk is obviously a sure starter. So yeah, that's the injury update for you. So who do you think will start for Liverpool?
So I think it should be, with the front three picks itself. Then it depends where Fabinho plays. I think Henderson, from what I read, had a very good game against Bayern. Henderson should start. Keita, I am not sure. I would rather not see Fakiri come on as a sub again after he came on against us in the first game, the first league game, and got two goals. And in fact, when he came on that game, I had a feeling he was going to score, and then he scored. He just has that super sub feeling about him. So, but I would think if Van Dijk's playing, then it's just a matter of whether Solskjaer can adapt to Liverpool's strategy. Of course, that PSG game was an example of how shackling Pogba can massively derail United's attack. I mean, of course, the caveat is that Martial and Lingov both went off at halftime, and then we conceded goals. But if you look at it in that game, he had Marquinhos pulling off a very good display in midfield, and he was essentially United was shackled. So can Pogba adjust to the Liverpool defense? Can Rashford manage to fight his way against Van Dijk, who's arguably, not really arguably, the best defender in the league and one of the best in the world on form currently? So I think it's interesting to see how the tactically Solskjaer is able to hold up against Klopp. I feel when you ask me about predictions, it's tough to predict. If you say from the heart, I would say probably a 2-1 win for United. But thinking about it, it might end up as a 1-1 draw. I would think, it's tough to say whether both teams will throw caution to the wind. Liverpool have no reason to. They have no reason to really go all out. I mean, even a draw would be quite good considering the occasion. It's
as a Liverpool fan. No, I definitely love a win against United, but I think a draw would be a good result, nevertheless, for Liverpool, because that will take us 1 point over City again, and the pressure will once again shift towards Man City. So a draw will also be a fairly good result for us, but still, it's United, and I definitely like a win. And speaking from Liverpool fans' perspective.
yeah, this thing speaks. I have the same feelings from a United point of view. So,
yeah. Yes,
it should be a good game, and as long as it's more balanced than the Anfield tie, then the game should be a cracker.
Yeah, specifically Klopp was saying that both teams are an openly football playing, you know, two different sides who openly play their football, fluid football. So it will be an interesting game to watch. Definitely, I hope it's a cracker. So hopefully, as a Liverpool fan, I'd like Liverpool to win. So, which will strengthen our cause for the title. So, so that's pretty much it. If you ask me my predictions, I'd like a Liverpool win, like I said. But to be realistic, I can see Liverpool have struggled to keep clean sheets as of late. So, Joel Matip is a weak link in our defense, to be honest. And I'm not pretty sure if Trent Alexander-Arnold is going to start three games in a week. So maybe we can see James Milner coming in at right back. So I'd go with a 1-1 draw here at Old Trafford. Maybe Marcus Rashford scoring for United, and for Liverpool, I go with Sadio Mane.
Great, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Both, big game players.
Yeah, so yeah. I would go with... And we also have a stat for Van Dijk that he's never been dribbled past by a single player this season in the league. If you look at all competitions, he's been dribbled past just once. And that was when he played for his national team against Germany. And he was dribbled past by Leroy Sané. So that's the only time this season he's been dribbled past. And he's come across Marcus Rashford. He's come across Kylian Mbappe. So that's pretty good, if you ask me. Yeah. So
I think that it sums up how he's been this season. He's been exactly what Liverpool wanted, and I think much more. And if you see, no one talks about his price tag anymore. I think that's indictment of how phenomenal he's been, and such a catalyst for the season, their performances. The way he marshals the defense, his leadership. I think those are, if Liverpool go all the way. But even if they don't, I think Van Dijk should be in with a shot for a player of the year.
Yeah, definitely. So that's it with our podcast, the preview podcast for Manchester United versus Liverpool. So it's been a pleasure having you on the show, Rahul. This is your debut on the Nutmeg Arena podcast. So we hope we could have you, more in the future as well. So it was a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for joining our podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Itvik. I hope to be back soon.
Yeah, definitely.
Hoping for a great game.
Yeah, definitely. Same. So thank you all guys for listening to this episode. So stay tuned. We got more content coming your way. And hopefully it's a cracking game for the neutrals. And all the best if you're a United fan. Even if you're a Liverpool fan. All the best to both parties. So hopefully we'll have a happy game. So thank you guys.